2013 to order at 6:05. I will establish a quorum at this time.
Mr. Martinez, Counselor.
Good, Jim.
Counselor. And the city mayor's here. At this time, I'd like to have the Pledge of Allegiance, and I'll ask Conrad Parker to lead us in the pledge.
Please stand, remove the hats, ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Counselor. Are there any added agenda items for the agenda this evening?
No, Mr. Mayor. There are some things that I have under staff comments, but we'll address them that way.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, I would ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Mr. Mayor, I need to state a possible conflict of interest with the bill payable to Wilderness Herbie.
All right. There's a motion to accept with the condition that Counselor Martinez has stated a conflict. Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The consent agenda is approved. This time I would take public comments. Hearing no public comments, we'll move to item 7, which is appointment. It reads as appointment to Conrad Parker to the City Council. My comments at this point in time are that our city attorney still has the oath under his advisement, and what our intentions are this evening is to invite Conrad Parker to join us on the dais. Council Martinez, would you like to escort him up here? I know he can do it, but this is a great time.
Well, it looks kind of.
I might have gotten lost on my way up.
Like a challenge. Like a chair. Come on up.
All right.
And here's your chair right here, so Mr. Parker.
Thank you.
And welcome.
This is a great opportunity for us to show that we support our youth, and I would ask that you welcome him with a round of applause. As a part of the appointment, I would entertain a motion to appoint our council president as mentor to Mr. Parker. And we'll entertain that motion.
So moved.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded that our council president will be Mr. Parker's mentor in the future. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous.
And if I could.
Yes, please.
Okay, Mr. Parker, here are some business cards for you. I believe Lori did me a favor and got the right cards. So those are your correct cards. And on behalf of the council, welcome. We'll do our best to teach you if you will promise to do your best to teach us. And always ask questions. And Never be afraid to speak to the audience at the proper time. Oh, see?
Microphone,
this is something you're going to have to learn. And I'm still learning. Thank you. So again, welcome to the council. And you have your cards now. And the council will hopefully teach you, and you promise to teach the council and act as a go-between between the students of Lapine High School and the city council. And I know you've already attended a few events on behalf of the city, and the council thanks you for that, and we look forward to your continued service.
Thank you.
Item 8 on the agenda is the water rate study presentation. So get yourself comfortable in the chairs. We're going to have an excellent presentation by Chris Marco, who is with the RCAC.
Just want to make sure all the counselors have a copy.
Okay, thank you.
And Mr. Mayor and council members, just as a backdrop, as Chris is getting started here, Chris has been working on this rate evaluation since before the sewer and the water district transferred to the city. And during the course of that time, he's evaluated stem to stern to see if a couple things. One, whether we're charging enough for water rates to sustain the operation, and B, is the way that we assign costs equitable. And he's done other things as well, but those are sort of the two primary focuses of his efforts. And I want to say he's done a tremendous job in terms of trying to do good discovery and contemplate all the options that are available to the city as we move forward. Chris?
Thank you, Stephen. And I also want to thank the city of Lapine, as well as the district members and the city staff for their help in working with me to gather information. Doing a rate study takes a lot of information gathering, a lot of dedicated time to reviewing information and sorting through different forms of that, and I've done a lot in terms of looked at your budget information, your water usage, how your rates are structured, and tonight this is a presentation that compiles that and also makes some recommendations in terms of moving forward, and it's a pleasure to be back in the room. So, Rural Community Assistance Corporation, we're an organization that serves 13 states, actually now 15 in the West. We've adopted Montana, Wyoming, and the Dakotas. We're part of a national network called the Rural Community Assistance Partnership, RCAP. We provide training and technical assistance for drinking water, wastewater, and solid waste, focusing on small communities. We also have an affordable housing program, and we have a loan fund that supports community development finance. Tonight, these are the primary goals. I'm intending to summarize the water rate study and findings. I've got some updated information from the last presentation I did to the Public Works Committee, highlighting key issues for the Lapine Water Fund budget. This has really been a focus of how I've spent the majority of my time, really trying to come up with a recommendation that addresses some of the key issues that I'm seeing in your budget for the water fund to help sustain your system in the future. And that's been a primary goal, and that's really what my recommendations are going to focus on tonight. I'm going to present updated customer use data, discuss rate structure, how you're currently structured. I'm going to show you some data in terms of how people are charged and the relative proportions and revenue. And I've also been spending a lot of time trying to figure out what kind of rate structure options you have. And tonight I'm going to be presenting a very brief snapshot of some of the options you might have to look at a different type of structure. I have done my best to highlight the key issues related to that, and I will present those recommendations at the end of the presentation. So we contracted with the water and sewer districts about a year ago to conduct a water rate study, carried over to the city. Again, really appreciate the staff. I think you have great staff to work with. They've been very helpful, responsive all the time, getting me information to help with this. Conducted two work sessions, and some city officials have been at those, including one with the Public Works Committee back in December. And I am intending to compile a summary of the rate study for your reference. So some history on the water budget. You know, years ago you had revenue that was exceeding expenditures. Here's a snapshot of some of those years. This is a history of your rate revenue for the past 6-7 years. As you know, it stayed pretty much the same. My understanding is you have not had a rate increase in quite some time.
Ever.
If not ever. And that's very significant. And then in terms of increasing expenses over time, historically you've had other sources of funds besides rates covering expenses, and you've had significant cash on hand build up over time, and sort of the trend has been, you know, you've had rates at the same level for since the beginning, and then you've relied on other sources of funds to cover expenses, which have been increasing, especially in the recent years. You've also just established a reserve for a reservoir, and the goal has been to fund that at $250,000 a year. I have to say that's looking ahead, and I'm also encouraging the city to do that, because as you'll see, there's going to be a lot of expenses that the city will have to make sure not only that your water system is sustained, but that you're going to be able to do improvements that you're going to need down the line. And so when we talk about reserves, that's what those are for. Overall revenue is not kept up with expenses. In the recent audit information, I found that there's been operating gaps ranging from $86,000 to $100,000. And when you translate that into how customers are charged in Lapine, that amounts to $6.38 per EDU. And we'll talk more about how that's defined. And so I'm really encouraging the city to make adjustments that you'll need for the current year and the future to sustain the system operations. So here's a picture of what the budget looks like today. The budget is $1.6 million. You've got non-operational revenue, which includes a number of reserve items, and the projected rate revenue for FY 12-13 in the budget is $586,800. That's a projection. So you've got that 1.6 million plus your cash on hand, that's non-operational revenue considered, $650,000. Now that money should not be touched, because I will show you that that money needs to be going toward allocated expenses that are going to look to the future to sustain your system. Your reserves are your future, and water is the most important resource. It sustains all life, it sustains your economy, and it sustains your community. It may be even more important than one of these, although we're starting to discover how hard it is to live without one of these. I can't emphasize how important and how much of a priority water should be for every community and every person. So again, you've got $586,800 projected from service fees. You've got a capital reserve fund established, and you've got SDCs in your budget at $30,000. This is a picture of what you have. Okay, now we're going to take a closer look here at your operational, what I consider your core expenses for the water system, okay? Your personal services total $276,200. Materials and services total $221,440. You've got debt service, and that's a loan through USDA Rural Development that's being transferred to the city. And so that total right there, subtotal, is $691,640. That doesn't include reserves, okay? That's just for your core operations, main line items to sustain your system. You've got budgeted rate revenue at $586,800. Okay? Do you see what's going on here? You're short with that projection in terms of meeting these core operation expenses. And in terms of the revenue that we looked at from the audit, it's actual at $527,849. So the difference between what's in the audit as far as operations and rate revenue is $163,791. Now, it appears that some of the $527,000 may have come from late fees. $20,000 is the estimate. And so when you're talking about taking that out, you're looking at more of a figure of $507,000 that comes in from your rates on time, how they should be paid, not including late fees. And in the analysis that I've been doing, looking at usage, looking at how your EDUs are set up and how much revenue would be coming in based on last year's data, it's more like $500,000. So, part of this, you know, comes from the history in terms of the rates you saw earlier were in the mid 500,000 range pretty consistently. So, I've been trying to estimate, you know, your projection for revenue based on previous years. And my inclination is to aim low on that. And we'll talk about what the target is. So here's some examples of, you know, depending on how you want to look at it, you've got differences here. 527 to one, you know, to 691. If you go on actual last year from the audit, that's a difference of 163,791. That would result in a $10.36 per month per EDU minimum increase. If you looked at it in terms of difference between 691, 750, and 507, 849, that would result in a difference of $11.64 per EDU per month. And I'm saying that you need to be targeting $700,000 for revenue, which is slightly above the 691, which would be $12.16 per EDU per month. And I'll show you some of the reasons I'm suggesting targeting higher than what you have for the next 2 to 3 years. Any questions, comments?
Let me just restate what I've heard you say, and that is generally we have revenue somewhere in the neighborhood of $500,000 right now, and we have expenditures somewhere in the neighborhood of $650,000-$670,000, and realistically, we need to have enough revenue on hand to cover our costs and then some. And if we rely upon our current rate, we're just going to dig ourselves a hole. And so we need to reconcile our real costs. We need to have a little bit of money in the piggy bank. And in order to do that, realistically, we've got to raise our rates. We can either do it in one breath, or we can do it in a couple of breaths, but we need to go that direction.
It's looking that way.
Does that sound like a pretty good assessment of what you just said?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Chris,
yes.
Excuse me, have you looked at any data further back that would reveal that we might be seeing less revenue based upon the economy. I mean, you know, the economy's down. People are watching their budgets and they're using less water. I mean, it's definitely, electricity and all of those are manageable by reducing the rate, you know, of use.
Yeah, I will note that the usage fluctuates annually, and I've looked back a good five plus years, and it's ranged from 60 million or so gallons total per year up to 68, 69 million gallons. The past year that I'm basing a lot of this analysis on, the past 2 years, have been 63 million gallons, which is a little on the low end, and I think the year prior was about 68. So, you know, that's part of the rate structure in terms of revenue that you need to kind of keep track of as well.
Okay.
And I could see that.
Okay. What is the current month's EDU? You know, you have recommend 1216 and 1164 and 1036. What is it currently?
$27.34 per EDU, with a volume charge of $2 per thousand gallons above what the allocated EDUs are for a particular meter.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many EDUs does an average family of four use in a week?
Residences are charged one EDU plus volume charge over 3,600 gallons. You're allowed 3,600 gallons, and then above that, it's $2 per thousand gallon. That's for
3,600 gallons. Does that cover most residents?
The average residential user in Lapine, based on last year's data, is 4,500 gallons per month. Can you tell I've been working with some numbers for a while?
Is that most residential?
I would ask.
That's the residential average.
I would ask the attendees that let us get through the rate study. I know you've got probably lots of questions, but we need to get through this. This is going to be lengthy, and thank you.
Duly noted. Thank you. So, aiming low at around 500,000, aiming higher at around 700,000, that's a $200,000 difference, and that would require a $12.65 per EDU per month increase. Remember that.
So another way of saying that is we're at $27 now, and to reconcile the difference, we need to go up around $40, $41, and if we don't do that, we're going to be in a bad position in the long term.
I'm saying within 3 years. But you know, given your estimated operational expenses at 691, I'll show you here in the next slide the impact of inflation and increasing costs. Costs generally are not going down. And these are standard practices in the industry that you need to account for inflationary costs. So with that, if you look here, what I've determined is that of that 691, 750, 500, 640 is subject to inflation. That's not including a debt service payment that you made and some other costs. So if you look at that, 2% FY13, 14, 704, 763 is the cost. Future 714, 976, and so on. So you're looking at a potential target there in FY17-18 of 746, 858 just to cover inflationary costs, as the numbers suggest. So that's why I'm saying $700,000 aiming high, because the trend is going to be going up. Make sense? So non-operating revenue, I talked about this. Again, your beginning balance there is the majority of it. You've got $1 million, there's reserve, SDCs, miscellaneous hookups. But again, the best practices are to align your rate revenue with your core operational expenses. And that's what I'm really trying to get you to focus on. Right now, I'm not even having you focus on funding your reserves from your rates. I think you need to look at where your reserves are at, and you really need to focus on getting that margin closed. Normally, you would want to fund reserves out of your rates, and in the longer term, the city needs to look at that and do that. So here's some cost capital outlay items. These are budgeted. Now we're looking ahead. Water system master plan. This is in your master plan. Priority capital improvements are separated into three priorities. Those priorities total $7.283 million for the future. So again, the more that you can be putting money away, the further ahead you're going to be down the line. Because I can tell you, in terms of funding, grant money is getting harder and harder to come by. And with what's going on in Congress, as we can hear, they're talking about more cuts. They're talking about programs that we work under. They're talking about cutting loan programs for drinking water and wastewater. So my message to communities is the ones that are more proactive about looking ahead, budgeting, putting money away, are going to be the ones that are going to make it down the line. And I'm telling you, what we're seeing, communities are having a real hard time, and I can empathize with Lapine as any, and especially because I've been working here for about 4 years, that you really need to be looking after your system and doing all that you can to support it. Water sources, this is another one. It doesn't rain a lot here in Lapine. It's an arid region. Water is a precious resource, and you've got some needs for storage capacity, which were identified in the master plan. And again, this is based on the best available information. You've got a recommendation for increasing that storage capacity. There's some issues with water rights and making sure that the city has enough water for the long-term future. And you've got $250,000 in your budget right now for a reservoir. And my understanding, the original plan has been to fund that at $250 per year until you're able to make as much as you can to meet that $985. Otherwise, you're probably going to have to finance it through loans, which will cause debt service and payments. So in terms of your overall priority improvements, $8,268,000. And we see projects, we see communities coming into one-stop meetings for that amount. We see projects for communities that are around 1,000 population for $13 million. They're trying to find loan money, maybe some grant money. This is something you need to remember as you look ahead. Just for priority one, there's an estimated cost of $4.4 million. That would include a reservoir if you were to finance that with a loan, 4.5% over 25 years. With rural development, there's a 10% reserve requirement. You're looking at an annual payment there of $326,479. You have 1317 EDUs based on last year's data. And if you divided that cost among the EDUs, that's $20.66 per EDU. So that's the big picture financing that you need to keep in mind. And again, I'm mainly trying to get the city to focus on your operations at this time. But these are things that you're going to need to address in the longer term. You've got reserves, which is a good thing. There was some foresight in terms of budgeting to establish these line items. That's totaling $850,000. And these should not be touched. These are dedicated. Asset replacement. You need to be thinking about assets. I was just having a conversation with Lori about that in terms of you need to be thinking about replacement costs in the next 1 to 5 years. I've talked with Pat about it.
Scott
about it. It's been a while. Sorry. Scott Perkins.
Actually, Steve
Hastin. Yeah, I was looking there. Well, and we talked about 1 to 5 years.
I'll say this, for example, we have the wiki up. Our lift station is on the clink, and so the cost to remedy that could be $300,000, and you could very easily have something on the water side that would cost a lot because water. Sewer items are big ticket items, infrastructure wise. So you need to have a reserve, you gotta leave it alone.
Up to 45.
Yeah, and agencies are looking at this in terms of, are you budgeting for short-lived assets as a part of their financing? And you've got some money set aside right now. You need to do some more work there, I know.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, this is something that I wanted to share with you. You have a loan with Rural Development. You're making a debt service payment of about $194,000. They have a requirement that you set aside 10% of every payment for 10 years so that you make basically one annual payment's worth in a reserve over 10 years. And that needs to be confirmed that you have it. I just want to make sure, and it was not clear to me in the annual budget information that line item was.
Say that again, Chris. Say what you have just said. What do we need to do?
There's a reserve requirement for rural development funding that you set aside 10% of each annual payment to RD in a reserve over 10 years. And my understanding is that you do have that.
Okay.
Yes. I just want to make sure.
I remember right, that was part of the discussion with the transfer of the water. So
okay. Yeah. That was not clear to me, and I appreciate that. Good. Here's how your current rates are set up based on the policy. You have a base rate basically with flow charges in terms of EDUs that are allocated. You have residential and commercial services. You also have a category called other public agencies, or OPA. You charge $27.34 for 3,600 gallons. Over that, it's a $2 per additional 1,000 gallons per month. Now with commercial, the EDUs are actually allocated up front. So for a certain type of user, they're allocated a certain number of EDUs, and they're allowed to use up to that amount. If they use more than that amount, they pay the $2 per 1,000 gallons above that. Okay. Here's how those EDUs are set up, some of the primary categories. Again, the question about single family, it's one plus the volume. Buildings with a private restroom up to two toilets is one, to four toilets is two. There's other variations. You've got certain very specific types of use that are defining how EDUs are allocated. And I'll show you some comparisons in terms of the revenue and how the costs are allocated and use by commercial happens. So the majority of your revenue comes from EUs, 87.5% estimated. That is guaranteed revenue. 12.5 comes from volume charges, and that could fluctuate. I mean, overall the use fluctuates, but having that guaranteed revenue from a business standpoint is a good thing. 57 customers use no water. They're charged a base rate of the one EDU, which is standard practice. It's the benefit of service, of being accessing the system and being allowed to use the water, that is common practice. Overall, the rate structure does represent and capture how much is being used in the revenue, the most of it in your base charges. There are inequities within the OPA category and some inequities within commercial. I'll talk more about that.
Chris, excuse me.
Yes, sir.
And I just want to go back to the equivalent dwelling units, certain calculations for rate structure.
Yes.
Is that a document, and Steve, is that a document that we have? Because I look here at other variations based on type of use facility. And then you've got 25 different types of use to determine EDUs. Do we have a document?
Yes.
I mean,
that's based on
a table. Yes.
Yeah, it's a table. It's a chart. It's an EDU chart.
Most all communities have a table like that that ties back to land use.
And is that some of the policies that we brought over to the city when we assumed sewer and water?
Right, we just brought it over as it was with the promise that if we needed to change it, and as we learned the system, that we would make for changes. And I think in my discussions with Chris, he's suggesting that there may be need for changes, but also we want to be cautious about how we would go about change. He wants to look at some more. Don't put words in your mouth. That's kind of where you are, right?
Yeah, I could see equity issues with the rate structure.
Uh-huh.
It seems to be working overall, and what I'm seeing is, number one, the city's taking on a new utility. You've got some budgetary issues that need to be addressed in terms of aligning revenue with operational costs. You've got a system that's familiar. So in terms of timing, I would see it happening over a period of time if it worked.
Okay, thank you.
And that chart is something I've worked off of and
okay.
was made available. So in terms of the breakout, residential customers pay more on the volume charges than commercial. Most of the rate revenue from commercials comes from that EDU allocation. Higher use by commercials captured in that EDU allocation, which guarantees revenue, and some commercial at the same time, along with some OPA, have some discrepancies that I'll point out. So here's a profile, users by percentage. 77% of the users in Lapine are residential, total of 434. That's actually reduced from my previous data, which suggested 775 accounts. And what I've discovered is that you have multiple accounts, you have change in ownership that have been tracked, and when you look at actual users, it's significantly less than the number of accounts that you have tracked over time. So that's a new number there. And when you look at a different rate structure, that would be significant in terms of users.
Is that an issue for us in the future, looking at, the fact that we've tracked certain numbers and we get that number jump out at us versus when we really flush it out, we come up with a real number of users? Okay. Thank you.
So there's 20% commercial and a 1% amount for OPA. In terms of use, residential uses about 39%, and that's 23 million plus gallons. Commercial uses more. They make up less of the users. And OPA uses 7.5 million at 13%. You've got an estimated 618 users. And this is another area that I think over time, you know, you've got the accounting and you've got the different accounts. The numbers of users was slightly higher in terms of the previous year. So again, I'm basing this off of the most recent best available data. And the total is 63 million plus gallons that I mentioned earlier.
Chris, another question, please. Would you tell us what maybe one of the OPAs is? Give us a feeling.
School.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. I found four of the OPAs, school.
Yes.
So half of the eight OPAs are schools.
Yep. So here's a break. Here's how that looks on a graph. So you've got lots of residences, less commercial, less of the others. You've got commercial using the majority of the water relative to the others. OPA is using, on average, a high percentage based on, you know, how many there are. And if you look at the usage information, you've got some extremely high users in Lapine. 450,000 gallons a month, I think, was one of the top ones. you've got a number of them using more than 100,000 gallons a month.
Chris, refresh my memory. This is over, you looked at the numbers over what period?
June 1, 2011 to July 2012.
Okay, and under the commercial...
July 11 to June 12.
Thank you.
And July 10 to June 12. We did 2 years.
2 years.
June 11.
We wanted really concrete information.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I know the commercial has significantly dropped
yes.
in Lapine.
Okay. Yeah, and that may account for users as well.
Right.
Okay, so here's EDU allocations based on how they're defined up front and allocated across the system and the percent of use. Overall, as you see the bars, there's fair correlation in terms of how many EDUs are allocated to residential. There's a little bit of higher use. That's the volume charge, if you will. And there's a higher EDU allocation for commercial, and there's slightly less use in terms of those two. But in terms of between the classes, fairly proportional overall. And then the OPA is fairly proportional overall. And here's a comparison between EDU allocated, percent of use, and revenue. Based on the use analysis and data that I have, I calculated how much the customers are using, how much they're being charged on the base, how much they're being charged on the volume, and totaling those out and separating them out into the classifications here. And that's how I came up with those revenue numbers and percentages. So again, you know, not significantly out of line in terms of correlation. Relative to consistency, some discrepancies. 34% EDU allocated to residential, 51% commercial, the remainder OPA. In terms of the revenue, 49% is coming in from commercial, 36% coming in from residential, and the remainder OPA. You're capturing a lot of volume relative to residential, less volume relative to commercial. You're getting the EDU charge on commercial more. So here's a comparison between EDU revenue and volume revenue. Again, it shows, you know, the commercial is higher on the EDU revenue at 51%. Residential is lower at 34%. Volume residential is higher and commercial is lower. Okay, here's some inequities. In that OPA category, I'm glad you asked the question about can you describe one, because I can talk about four. Four of these OPAs are allocated when you 40 EDUs more than they are using in terms of 3,600 gallons units. And if you look at some of the commercials, there are 10 that are allocated more than 5. And that's to say, an example would be a commercial or a customer by meter is charged 20 EDUs worth. And if you looked at multiplying what they're using or dividing what they're using by 3,600, it would amount to 15. And then there are a number of commercial that are, you know, between 1 and 5 EDUs allocated over what that comparison would be to EDU use. So, not the majority. I would say the schools, you know, those four are significant. If you look at the revenue, you know, do the math, 40 times 27, 35, 4 times 4. We're talking about $50,000 a year. So I've been looking at other options and running some calculations about a structure that would involve charging each user a base rate and then a volume charge over that. And here's where the numbers show the different scenarios. If you included 3,600 gallons, which is a unit that the system is familiar with, you charge 618 users a base rate of $60 per month and charge them $2 per thousand above that, that would generate $518,534, which is low. So the best case scenario using these calculations would be a base rate of, the lowest base rate of 54 and a volume charge of 8 to get to your revenue target.
What is the volume associated with the current $2?
Per 1,000 gallons.
Per 1,000 gallons.
Automatically you're charged for this.
I'll just tell you what I think I've told you what my experience is as being a water master of a water district. We had this same problem a number of years ago where we were charging significantly less for the volume over, you know, our volume is 800 cubic meters. And people were just, I mean, they go over that, $27.50, and then for another 100 cubic meters, they could pay I think it's $1.50 to start. And they just use water. It's cheaper once they get up above what their base rate is, just to go ahead and water the lawns. And our problem is a 5,000 gallon tank. So for 22 users, well, we raised the, I think we raised the volume up to about $4. Two things happened, you know. Our infrastructure was helped, and the use of water went down. Mm-hmm. We didn't really make more money mm-hmm. by raising that rate. It forced people to respect the restrictions on the use of water, because after a few hundred cubic meters, they were paying a good deal of money. Thank you.
Thank you. And that's a consideration when you talk about changing a rate structure, and in a time where you're looking at revenue issues and expense issues, something to consider.
What's our base rate now?
$27.34 per EDU.
So we'll be doubling, pretty much doubling that. And
for a customer, a residence, it would close to double. They're allocated one EDU plus volume. For commercial, they're allocated the EDUs up front. But as you could see, you're capturing most of that use in that upfront allocation, and with some volume, because you have some very high users. And so in a system like that, like this, the commercial customer would be charged that base rate, and most of their additional charges would come from the volume. And so when I've run comparisons, you know, this would actually probably be Well, it would vary. It would vary from customer to customer. Some customers would pay about the same. Some customers would pay quite a bit less on the commercial side. Some would be paying more. But in this scenario, the residents would definitely be taking on more of the base because of how you're currently structured now. So these are issues to deal with that I've been honestly, you know, trying to come to terms with on behalf of Opine to do my best for your community. And so I wanted to show you some comparisons about what a different rate structure would look like. There are other options. Meter sizes come up, and I've looked at that data, and you've got a lot of variance in use within a certain meter size. So that's a consideration in terms of how do you capture and accurately represent how the water is being used. I mean, you know, within the 5/8-inch meter, you've got, you know, from 0 to 10,000. So those are considerations, and I've done my best to lay some of this data out for you.
Are all of our residential meters 5/8?
They're 5/8 by 3/4 meters. We do have one subdivision that has 3/4 inch meters.
Okay. Can I ask why the difference? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know why it's a subdivision. They must have got a cheaper price on that day or something.
Some of them. His arms aren't long enough to reach over there.
But his legs are.
I just stopped talking.
No.
So I'm going to share with you my perspectives in terms of what I think is going to help the city address the most immediate issues in terms of the rates, and also suggest some considerations for the future in the 1 to 3 year period. I'm recommending that you target $700,000 in rate revenue to cover your core expenses within 3 years. If you can do it in 1 or 2, even better. I'm recommending that you make a rate adjustment of $12.66 per EDU under the current system within 2 years at $633 per year. With this recommendation, I would suggest that the city increase the rates by at least $6 this year to make up for that $100,000 gap that has shown up in multiple data at least, and consider the future adjustments perhaps incrementally and maybe spread over 3 years. But I want to aim high rather than low for you. I'm recommending that you allocate from your cash carryover $500,000 in 2 years to continue funding your reserve line item for the reservoir. That would mean $250 per year. And then this last one, I've got resolved that you actually already have this reserve established. Additional recommendations or considerations. You need to closely monitor your revenue this year. This is the first full year of operations that the City of Lapine is taking on for the water utility. You need to make sure that the revenue is coming in to cover your expenses. You need to consider what your actual expenses are and track that diligently. And I would suggest reporting at least quarterly on the status of that. In terms of adjusting EDUs and addressing equity issues, this is a difficult one, but I would suggest if you want to look at that under your current system, that you address the OPA extreme inequities as the priority. But if you do that, you're going to have to find revenue from another source, because that would mean reducing the revenue from certain customers. To go along with that, I would suggest looking at a $2 increase to the volume charge within 2 years. That could offset something like an adjustment. And I've done some calculations there, and based on how much you are charging for volume right now, that would amount to about $70,000 a year, that $2, based on the data of usage. And then in terms of a different rate structure, I see a window of about 2 years to look more closely at that, and I've done my best to address some of those options at this time. This is the presentation I have for the City of Lapine this evening. I really appreciate the opportunity to work with your community. I hope that these recommendations and this information is helpful and will help guide you to managing and sustaining your water system in the short term as well as the long term. I'm planning to write a summary in terms of our contract. I've allocated the time and I've really dedicated myself to doing the best job that I can, and I'm available to help guide you and consult with you in terms of any of this information or additional information that you need to make decisions.
First off, Chris, I'll say for myself, but I hope I'm speaking for on behalf of the council, and I'll allow them to speak also, is that we can't thank you enough for an outstanding effort and work in putting this together, because I think it's enlightened all of us. I know it has enlightened me tremendously as to how we have to deal, how we dealt with water, and how we need to deal with water as a service within the city. And these are great pieces of information, and I'm extremely pleased with everything you've done for us.
Yeah, right along with you there. I want to thank you for all the effort put in. Disappointed my water rates are going to have to go up, but we got pretty good here compared to Southern California. My brother pays $400-$500 a month, so we're real lucky here in Central Oregon. And thank you for all the work you put into Ashley. I'm sure you had a big part in that. Sue?
I just want to thank you like everyone else. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of digesting of these numbers and everything, and again, the staff will have to crunch them out and then make a final recommendation, but you know, I think everybody put the pencil to the paper and really worked hard on this, so thank you all.
Thank you, Chris, very much.
I would say one thing, that there's no doubt that you could not have gotten where you were or where we are this evening without the support of the staff.
And absolutely.
And I appreciate the staff for all the help they've given you.
Likewise, I appreciate Lori and Ashley very much.
And this guy, whatever his name is.
Yeah. Scott. And Steve, of course. Great to work with in the community. And you know, I just want to say, you know, we were brought in by the districts, and I know that there's been the transition, and I just, you know, want to point out that there were some things in the past that have carried over, and just have that recognized in terms of the budget. And I also want to say that I think there was some foresight as well in terms of, you know, some of the reserves and trying to consider some of those thoughts and best practices as well. So I just wish the city the best, and again, I'm a resource and just really appreciate the opportunity to work with the City of Lapine. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. time, I'd like to go back to item four, added agenda items. I overlooked that I wanted to add to the agenda the item relating to our executive session, and that would come under number 18. However, at this time, I'm going to ask the council's consent to move that to our current item under a water rate study, and I will that Stu?
You'll have to go over that again.
I want to move I want to add to the agenda item a comment about our executive session.
Okay.
And I want to add that to the agenda, added agenda items, and then I want to move that up to this current time, from 18 up to number 8A. Greg? Okay. And what I'd like to say is, in relation to our executive session today, it was based on a planned evaluation of our city manager, and that was completed. Our next item is item number 9, intergovernmental agreement, document 2013-03, city manager.
Yes, this is something that's a long time in the coming. This is an intergovernmental agreement between Deschutes County and the City of Lapine. It is an agreement that's been around for over 4 or 5 years. I believe it was initially initiated in 2009, and then again in, I want to say, 2011. And for whatever reason, it expired. It was not continued, even though the terms and the conditions of it continued. And what this intergovernmental agreement does is it identifies who provides for land use services in Lapine. And because we haven't had land use authority, the land use has been with the county to provide on our behalf. So if you came in the door and you wanted some land use action in Lapine, you'd go to Deschutes County and they would provide that service on our behalf. And we had really no other recourse because we didn't have any land use authority. And so slowly but diligently, the city has striven to have land use authority. And late this fall, the state provided us with that authority, and then it was subject to a 60-day review. And so since about January 3rd, the city's been in a position where we've had land use authority, and also that's where we derive our ability to have code enforcement as well. And so because we've had an expired agreement, it was important to reactivate it, and as part of its reactivation, to identify now that we have land use authority, that as we're poised to get in the land use business, all we need to do is give Deschutes County 30 days notice of that intent. And also, because we haven't had any kind of an agreement over a geographic information system, this is your mapping, that we've agreed that the county would provide that service. So how this all shakes loose is, as I envision it shaking loose, is that for right now, if you accept this document, the county will accept this document, and we'll have everybody on notice that at any time the land use could transfer over here. Also, that the county is in agreement, or the city's in agreement, that the county will provide for geographic information services on our behalf, and they'll charge us a fee for providing that service. And finally, that building codes, because, you know, where's building codes in all of this? Well, right now, the county's providing for building codes. City certainly would be in a position to provide for them if we wanted to, but it makes sense for right now for the county to continue having the building codes. So what this agreement does is it confirms that the county right now will provide land use, building codes, and geographic information, and that in the future we will provide for land use here, and also as part of that we will provide for code enforcement. And the code enforcement isn't exactly tied to the land use, so we can initiate the code enforcement before we do the land use. And in fact, we probably will. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much. Questions? Stu?
Is this a year-to-year agreement?
It's an agreement that has... Well, it's an agreement in place. Let's see how it says.
It says it in here. I just read it in.
Yeah. It's an agreement that can be terminated any time on 30 days written notice. Okay.
Okay.
But I don't think it has an ending date. And that was one of the things we wanted to cure, is because before it had an ending date. And it ended, and that kind of put us in a precarious situation where the county could have said, well, you know, we don't have an agreement with you anymore. We're not going to provide any services. But the county agreed until such times as we reactivated it that they would honor the previous agreement, which was good of them. And so I don't think this one has a date that it expires, but rather at any portion of time, either anything in here can be changed, and or it can be terminated on 30 days notice.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
I was just trying to find out or figure out their fee schedule. If this is year to year, are they locked into their fee schedule?
Well, their fee schedule, and let me just talk about that for a moment, because that's real important. The county charges the individuals from Lapine that are seeking some land use according to the county's fee schedule. They have a fee schedule that they charge the county, and they charge in the city. I think it's the same fee schedule. But one of the things that the city's going to need to do as part of getting in the land use business is have our own fee schedule, because clearly when the service comes over here and we have to provide it, you know, we need to charge for it. And we need to know what to charge for. And I do have a draft fee schedule for your folks to take a look at as part of us getting the land use business. Okay. In fact, I was going to bring that up as part of the budget review process, that here's the fee schedule and what do you folks think of it. Okay. But it's little things like that that we still need to do before we take over land use. We need to have a fee schedule. We need to have some general idea of how we're going to do each and every different kind of land use, and then we need to have some forms that we construct and that sort of stuff. Quite a bit of work there, but it's great.
Will we, at that time, have to hire our own building inspector, or will the code enforcement officer be able to do
that? There's sort of three things here. One is that if we're going to be in the land use business, then we're going to need to have a land use planner, okay, and best on contract. Two, the building codes will continue to do building code on the part of the county, and they will charge for that service. And then three, it gets a little tricky here, code enforcement. The city will provide code enforcement, and we will use a person part-time for code enforcement purposes. And they will address land use elements of code enforcement. But building code also is in the code enforcement business for building activity. So the code enforcement as it relates to buildings will be with county building official. And code enforcement as it relates to other matters, land use matters primarily, or nuisance issues, will be with the city code enforcement. And then again, GIS, you know, we could either get all the equipment again, that business ourselves. We could use a contractor for that. It's just best to have it with the county, and the reason for that is the county has all the records anyway. You have all the records of the county. So why would we want to recreate that, A, or B, have some contractor who then keeps all the documents that we construct? It's best to be with the county. Okay? So that's it in its entirety, and I'm glad to answer any other questions you might have, Todd.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So in other words, if the city is paying the county $2,250 for services pursuant to this section 6.1 and 6.2, will we still be paying that $2,250 in 2 years or when this?
Okay, that's a good question. There's two parts to this. And that is, the county's kind of looked at all of our maps and stuff, because a lot of our maps were constructed by someone other than the county. And so they need to reformat all of our maps that aren't their maps to be in their format. And they're saying that's going to take a week or two's worth of work, and they need to charge us for that work. And then once they clear up all the maps and have all the maps in their format, then they'll just charge you an hourly rate for any services thereafter. And they have an hourly rate
65.
In there. 65 for any map. So one of the things clearly is that we're going to need maps from them. We need to be careful what we ask for in terms of maps and how frequently we ask for them, or that number could get up there pretty quick.
Right.
And the other thing is, as part of land use, as part of our fee schedule, we want to make sure that when someone comes in and they've got a land use application that's going to have maps associated with it, that we're charging them for the cost that the county's going to charge us for providing the service related to their land use application. Okay, so anything that's coming in the door that's driven by the public, they should pay for, rather than the public itself should pay for it, for having the county provide that service.
Okay, but is this still, I mean, since this is signed and gated, we're locked into these fees.
Well, you can negotiate them.
Well, but I guess in, say this is good for, say, 2 years, or is it year to year?
Okay, what you're saying is, gee whiz,
in 5 years from now,
years,
this is still in effect, are we still going to pay that amount?
Well, that's a good question, and I think this is the answer, and that is,
okay.
That is the cost now.
Okay.
And imagine as they adjust their fees,
we'll get it in.
Then you'll have some new costs that they'll ask you to accept. But until they come up with a new cost, and until you accept the new cost, then everybody's kind of locked into this agreement. Okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
All right.
I think then I would ask the council this time for a motion to approve the intergovernmental agreement that has been presented to us this evening.
I move we adopt document number 2013-003.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to approve the intergovernmental agreement document 2013-003. Any further discussion?
No.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. We now have an intergovernmental agreement.
Thank you very much.
We're now at item number 10. This is the ordinance that established certain code enforcement procedures for the city of Lapine. I would ask the council for consensus to table this motion until our meeting on the 27th, our work session on the 22nd or 27th, for further review.
Mr. Mayor, can I
Yes, please.
We have an ordinance establishing certain code enforcement procedures. It's pretty much in its final form, and we could talk about it tonight. But we also have another we've talked about that it takes two ordinances in order to get in the code enforcement business. And just today, and then we'll talk about just briefly item 17, we have a draft ordinance established definition of nuisances. And I'd really like to talk to you on the 27th about both of these together. So that I think they'll make more sense, and I think the public will understand better what's going on. Okay?
Thank you very much, and therefore I'll entertain the motion to table this to bring up on both of the motion or both of the ordinance 2013-01 and the discussion of nuisance abatement ordinance for the 27th of this month.
I move to table items number 10 and 17 to the 27th meeting.
Well said. Okay. There's a motion and a second to table 10 and 17 until our work session on the 27th. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Okay. Item number 11 is a discussion of employment handyperson. I'd like to ask our city manager to introduce the potential handyperson he is currently working with.
Yes, it's my pleasure to introduce John Hoffman. John is here tonight. John is not really good on ice, and so he's broken his leg, but the city is going to need someone to address code enforcement. And someone that can work closely with Public Works to ensure that any of the multitude of projects that are coming this way are addressed. And we've gone through quite a vetting process, and it looks like John, we haven't entered into agreement with him yet, but he certainly looks like a promising candidate for this position, and I thought that I'd introduce him to you. And maybe John, you could just say a word or two.
Sure.
You would?
Sure. My name is John Hausman, and I've been part of the Lapine community for 25 years, all 25 years exclusively in Lapine, even though most of the majority of the work has always been in Bend. I've been fortunate to work on very, very high profile quality projects that I still have a good connection with, the architects, the engineers, etc. One of my last projects was I was the superintendent of the Crater Lake project, where we redid the upper part and built a new restaurant, gift shop, cafeteria down there, and that was an eye-opening experience dealing with different bureaucracies of Department of the Interior, National Forest Service, and other entities that really didn't have the same goal in mind. One person was protecting a tree, the other person was protecting the investor or the owner, etc. I feel very, very fortunate to have this opportunity to work for Lapine and to bring my skill sets that I've acquired over the years to work with Steve and any other scope that he asks of me. I can course correct very quickly. I've been in the field, I've been in the office, I've been in the drafting department, I've been raising money, I've worked overseas, etc. So that's about the gist of me, and I'm pretty easy to get along with. But there hasn't been much in the industry that I haven't been part of being project-wise, from reservoirs to national parks to bridges, et cetera. So, and I'm very thankful for Steve to help in his patience as I kind of get over this little gimp I got going here. So, but I'm on the mend, so nice to meet everyone.
Thank you, John.
I'd also like to say, if I could, that I'm aware of a great deal of effort that our city manager has gone to vet John Hausman in several directions, and I think we have confidence in where we are right now.
Thank you very much.
Item number 12 is appointment of Dan Varco to the Lapine Chamber Tourism Committee. I would like to say that just to clarify that a little bit, the council is asking Dan Varco to represent the city in those areas of tourism that would afford him the opportunity to bring back information to help us better understand the information we get from the chamber on a quarterly basis. And so Dan, would you like to come up and make a comment?
Sure. I appreciate the recommendation from the city. I assume that that's there. And it's, I think you, most of you know that, you know, I have a big heart for Lapine, for the area, the town, the city, and for the chamber. And just appreciate the opportunity to sort of tie in and work on all these fronts. The, you know, I understand that I would just be, I guess, a committee member and be able to share my thoughts and input and then try to communicate that back. And tourism is something that is very valuable for us here, I think. I believe it is in lots of ways. It's I've found that when I was working with the chamber, I found that a lot of the people that moved here were first tourists here, or they came to hunt or camp or play. And so I think that that is going to continue to be one of the most important things that we can do, is treating our tourists in a way that they would find us a place they'd want to live. So hopefully I can play a role in that, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, Dan.
Oh, that's the main reason I came to the meeting, to get my chocolate chip cookies. Thank you.
That's something Dan and I used to do. Dan's a former city councilor, and we never get a chance to eat dinner, so we'd share cookies. So.
No, that's all right. That's all right. It's appropriate. There was a lot of cookies that I never got for them. But I forgive. Okay. Therefore, on item 12, that I would entertain a motion that that the council appoint Dan Varco to represent the city in the chamber committee that deals with tourism.
Okay. So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. And move on to another enjoyable piece of appointing Gloria Fleming to the Planning Commission.
Hello, I'm back. I have served on the Planning Commission in the past, and of course I've watched Lapine grow from infancy and really enjoyed it. And so I'm looking forward to getting to the point now where I understand the Planning Commission is going to be doing more, and I think that will be, it'll be very rewarding. That's it.
Thank you very much. I think the city's greatly served by having somebody that has been on the Planning Commission before, has the competence and the desire, and will be a great addition to the Planning Commission as we move forward. I thank you very much, Gloria. All right. Is there a motion to appoint Gloria Fleming to the Planning Commission?
Will we appoint Gloria Fleming to the Planning Commission?
Second.
Moved and seconded to appoint Gloria Fleming to the Planning Commission. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Item 14 is professional services agreement, Baron Liberman LLP.
Mr. Mayor, we've discussed for some time the need to have labor law services. We have services that are provided to us by our attorney, but amongst the services they provide, they don't provide our labor law services. And it's not so much that we need labor law services as we need to poise ourselves if we ever need to have them. Then we have an attorney firm that's competent that can come forth and address labor issues as they might arise here in the community. And so it's a sort of a preventive measure. And we went through a process of interviewing the candidates here last fall. It's just taken a long time. And finally, we have before you for your consideration Baron Lieberman as a attorney service that we'd offer up. And there are some negotiations that have not completely played out. When our attorney was here earlier today, he crafted a statement, I think, Mayor, that you should read that would qualify where we are so that it's understood under what circumstances that we bring these folks on board.
Okay, thank you very much. I would like to entertain a motion to approve the agreement with Behrman Lieberman LLP for labor services at a billing rate of $275 per hour, provided one, the city attorney makes an attempt to obtain 2 hours of free training for the city council, and two, the city attorney approves the final agreement.
So moved.
Any discussion?
Second.
Okay. Moved and seconded. Is there any discussion?
This was a process we started.
Oh, we actually started last summer.
Okay.
So it's been a long time. It's kind of like the land use agreement that we culminated this evening. These agreements just take a long time to vet and get here.
And you interviewed these folks?
We interviewed this, and this was the gentleman, if you recall, this was the gentleman from Baron Lieberman. And in his previous life, he'd been a labor attorney for the Teamsters in Chicago.
Right.
Remember? So if somebody knows what they're doing, it sounded like
okay.
He knew what he was doing.
No more questions.
Okay. All right.
Alfred? Yeah. No further discussion. Is there a motion to accept this motion as read?
Yeah.
Moved.
So moved.
A vote.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous. Approved. And we're on item number 15, professional services agreement, Mary Thorson, an agreement concerning the provisions of certain bookkeeping services. Steve?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're in that time of year where we're starting to assemble the budget, and there's any number of things that we need to do as part of that budgeting process. And so just as a contingency measure, we've relied upon Mary Thorson in the past. She's very competent bookkeeper, but from time to time we might need her services. Now, we're not saying that we're going to need them every week or that we might need them at all, but if in fact we do need them, then we have a backup. This agreement is for $2,500 for the year, so just by virtue of the agreement, we're not going to be using her very many hours, even if we maximized her use. Okay.
Okay. Council?
It's a good idea.
Okay.
I think he's got good foresight, and my questions were answered already, so.
Okay.
I'm fine.
Is there a motion?
I move we approve the agreement of professional services with Mary Thornton.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimous and approved. Item 16 is Lapine Economic Development Team. And do you want to speak to that?
Well, sure. I didn't know I was going to be given the opportunity, but absolutely.
Well, let me go to this point if I can. The chamber has spoke to the issue of appointing someone to, or their desire to appoint someone to the Lapine Economic Development Team. And an idea is that we would allow the chamber, the city council will allow the chamber to appoint someone to the development team to replace the current person that is on the economic development team that is designed to represent the chamber.
And that being who, sir?
I'm not sure.
Oh, Scott Alsa?
Scott Aisla?
Aisla, sir.
Well, our point of contention was that all of the discussions previous to you coming up with the final list was that there would be a standing seat for the chamber on this economic development team. And so we were never, when the final list came out, it was obvious that there was not a standing seat for that, because the chamber board should have been given the opportunity to choose that person. We should have been told that there's going to be a seat on the economic development team for someone from the chamber. We would have had discussion. They would have chosen that person that they wanted to represent the chamber on the team. So if your decision is now to have a standing seat on the economic development team, we're just happy. We'll go about the process of finding someone to fill that seat.
And I think that's what we're saying, that you are welcome to appoint somebody to replace Alsa. Hasla?
Aisla,
excuse me.
Yeah, I might mention Scott was not under the impression that he was your choice to be the representative from the chamber. And so that was maybe where there was some confusion.
I have since talked to Scott about this, and that's not what he's told me.
Well, if I could, Mr. Mayor, I think the fair process, at least my belief is the fair process, would have been to allow the chamber to appoint their own person. And I think some discussion took place, and so I think we're just inviting the chamber to be allowed to appoint their own person. Is that right?
I believe we are.
Okay.
Okay.
So from now on the team, there's a seat for the chamber, and should whoever they choose not be able to serve there, they'll choose someone else and on into as long as the team is...
And that's what we're saying.
Right.
That's what we're saying.
Okay.
But the consensus here is that we have somebody already because of expediency maybe, but I don't recall at any time that there was a clear discussion about the chamber having
a person. There was in those meetings.
Well,
yes.
However, if the chamber wants to appoint somebody else, that person will replace Scott Elson.
I would like to be given that opportunity. Thank you very much.
Okay. So. Mm-hmm. That's the consensus of the council.
Very good.
Other matters, public comments?
Douglas Ward, Pine Drive in the city of Lapine. As a member of the Public Works Committee, I want to thank Mr. Marco for his very, very good presentation. Being on the Public Works, what you showed us opened
a lot of, he's opened a lot that I didn't know about, and a very nice presentation. Thank you.
Any further public comments?
Just from here is fine. Dan Barco here. I was kind of encouraged when, I like Scott's presentation, lots of stuff there, but so much that I'm not sure I caught it all, but did you have any provisions in your projections regarding population increases and the impact that would be there in the coming years? The trends, city manager says we're hitting almost 1,700 people instead of 1,585, and I know that's not necessarily all users, but I didn't see that, or if I did, I missed it. And then the other relative thing to that is, when we go to adjusting rates, I think it's important from an economic development standpoint, from looking, you know, going forward, that at least the commercial rates, and probably residential too, be compared to other communities that we would be competing with for business and relocation to our area and that kind of thing. I think that going back, that's one of the heartaches that we've had, not only with rates but SDCs, with our present situation as a district. It's going to be really frustrating to bring this into our lap at the city and all of a sudden have to be adjusting rates and SDCs unexpectedly. So we're fighting an uphill battle, I know, but I think the way that we approach that needs to be very careful. You know, that's a piece of it, I guess, that we have to consider. And I also didn't hear too much about the possibility of changing the operational costs. So.
Yes. First question, there was not a lot of information focusing on population projections. I took information out of the master plan and really focused on some of the priority projects that were identified in there and the costs. As I have gone along with the rate analysis, the focus on the budget has really been my primary priority. I've been encouraged to look at the bigger picture and the longer term, and I really had to spend the majority of my time really getting a handle on the current system, what's going on currently, the data, checking the data, coming up with good information to really try and help steer the city in a direction that I think will help. First, in the short term, putting these other considerations out, noting that you have reserves, that you have projects on the horizon, and wasn't able to address population projections specifically. The issue of expenses, that would be something, you know, that the city could look at in terms of adjustments. Again, I was going off of the best available information to present that. I think it would be wise to look at that. And in terms of comparisons between other communities, that actually was a question that was brought to me last time I was here. I've actually tried to get some information, and I contacted the League of Oregon Cities, and they've had some survey information in the past, and they've actually developed some information specific to regions, and I got some for Region 5 that they have, and I was hoping that there would be something for this region. And when I asked, they said there isn't, and they offered to check on that as a service and suggested that I work through the city and have it be done for the city rather than, you know, me doing it as a service. So I try to do that, and I'd be happy to continue following up there.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you very much, Chris. Kitty?
Yes, Kitty Shields. I'd also like to thank Chris for the excellent presentation. There was obviously a lot of work and a lot of thought put into that. And I think the city needs to take very seriously everything that that they learned tonight. My biggest takeaway was something that I've known all along, there is no extra money in utilities, in water and sewer. All the money generated by utilities needs to go back into utilities, or we're going to find ourselves in the same situation as Bend and thousands of other cities all across this country. And so I'm really glad to have that information.
Thank you very much. Any further public comments? Hearing none, I will move to staff comments. Steve?
Yes, sir. I've got three. I'm asking you folks, and it's in your packet, to sign a document that I constructed that is a letter of support for House Bill 3130. And what this House Bill 3130 does for the public is there are proceeds that have been generated over the years associated with the industrial park. And those proceeds now go to the county. And the county has generously determined that they would like to take a majority of those proceeds and invest them in the signalization of First Street and 97. Except that their attorney, who is very conservative in reading and evaluations, has said there might be some conflict with using those industrial proceeds for this purpose. So then the solution was ask the legislature to review the language that might cause the attorney caution and pause, and see if it can be restructured so that there's a green light for use of these industrial proceeds for that intersection. And so by adding our name, by the council adding their names, that just gives more support for the legislature to entertain that action. Okay, and if they do, then instead of maybe 3 or 4 years before we get that street light or that signalization of First and Reed, it might be a year or two. Because it's a $1.3 million ticket item, and it just takes a long time to accumulate that money. But this might short shrift that whole process. Okay, so that's one thing. The second thing is that just a reminder that on March 16th, which is this Saturday, we're going to have our priority workshop. It's slated to be from 9 to noon. I'll try and get you out of here earlier, but it's the, sort of the first step in the budgetary process, and that is to identify the priorities of all the priorities that are out there so as to have time to budget. Okay? And then finally, on March 20th, next week on March 20th at 6:30, we're having an open house at the community center to discuss the transportation system plan that's under consideration. And again, the transportation system plan is a planning tool to help identify our transportation needs and come up with a transportation plan for the next 20 years. Okay? Right. So we invite the public to both the 16th here at City Hall and the 20th over at the Community Center. Thanks so much.
All right. Thank you. Council, I'd like to ask for a motion to approve the forwarding of this letter signed by the councilors to to support.
Yeah, it would go to our legislators.
Right, go to our legislators.
And the county, and probably leave it with the county to figure out how best to promote that letter to the right people.
Okay.
I'd like to move that the City of Lapine sign the letter of support for House Bill 3130.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
This is important.
Yes.
This was on the floor of the Senate just yesterday, I believe, and our representative, Mike McLean, and former representative, Dean Winsett, testified on the behalf of Lapine for this bill. So it is a very important piece of legislation.
It is. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimously approved, and what I'd like to see us do is sign one of these tonight before we leave.
Okay. I appreciate that, and then I can tomorrow give that to the county and have them figure out how to facilitate its delivery to the legislature. Okay.
Exactly. Thank you. Thank you. Council comments? Okay. Mayors?
I was going to let him go.
Oh, yes, please.
We all know that the city council went to Salem for city's day at the Capitol, and that House bill was one that was spoke to with our, we had a chance to meet one-on-one with our representatives. This was one that I know I talked to him about, and I'm sure everybody else did. Another item that I took care of, traveled over to Dallas because our friend that was here at our last meeting that was talking to the city manager about a skate park, Braxton, that's his name.
Braxton?
Yes. Yeah. I did a little research, traveled to Dallas. They have a skate park I was invited over there to take a look at and learned quite a bit. The language is a whole different story, and you need to look it up on the internet to know what they're talking about. But I know of Goofy and Longfoot and a bull and a skyjack. So those are important things that I think we'll have to learn. But the biggest thing is it was suggested that we have the youth involved because us grown-ups don't know how to build something. Like, we don't know what they want in these bowls and jumps and everything. So there's a lot of education that we as adults need to get ourselves. And I'll be going to another opening of a skate park in Gold Hill in about 3 weeks to check out some more. So it was a busy week for all of your city councilors this week. And I think our new high school representative will be part of that as a major player too. Thank you.
I'd like to ask our new person sitting here on the council with us, or a dais with us, for your comments.
I just want to say thank you for the presentation. I've heard that a couple times, but just from what I saw today, I feel like I grasped a little bit of the situation, and I can make some educated comments about it. So thank you for that, and I also want to thank everybody who appointed me to this position and got me up here so the students in the schools could be heard. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I have no comments.
I need
red seat just worked.
Motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Moved and seconded. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, John. Yeah.